Amen. Luke chapter number 22 this morning. Luke chapter number 22. Let me just say it is an honor. It is a privilege to be here with you this morning. Luke chapter number 22. Thankful I'm saved this morning. Amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. Where will we be apart from the grace of God? Amen. Luke chapter number 22. If you found your place, would you say amen? Amen. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 31. And y'all pray for me this morning. We're going to see what the Lord has for us. Y'all don't worry about a long message this morning. I don't think I'm as long-winded as Pastor Farmer or Pastor Josh, whatever y'all call him. But we're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and knowing that we're saved. Amen. Verse number 31, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Verse 33, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And I'm interested in that one phrase there in verse number 32. It says that thy faith fail not. And I want to preach just for a few short moments on the faith of a failure. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you this morning. Lord, we are thankful for your presence, Lord, already that's been felt in with the teenagers singing, Lord, and in the congregational singing, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for being here in this service, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless your word now. I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word and the reading of your word, God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to see something that I need, that I stand in need of this morning, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint this preacher one more time, Father. Lord, I thank you so much for saving us this morning. Lord, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I just pray that we as Christians would never get over the wonder and amazement of salvation. And God, I pray that you would just bless now. Lord, I pray that you touch my heart, Father. Lord, I pray that you touch my mind, Lord. I pray that you would touch my mouth as I preach now. And Lord, I pray for that one that might be nearest hell in this service this morning. That one that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. And God, I pray that the gospel would be clearly presented this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd convict them of their need of a Savior. And Lord, we'd be eternally grateful for it. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for all you're going to say and do. In your name I do pray, amen and amen. I want to talk about the faith of a failure this morning. It says that thy faith fail not. But just by way of introduction, I see some characters here in this passage of Scripture. I see a few characters here in this passage of Scripture. The first thing I see, the first character I see this morning is the Savior. Is the Savior. Look there at verse number 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said." Boy, it's always a good day when the Lord goes to talking, amen. It's always encouraging to me when I see that in my Bible because I know something good's about to happen. Something good's about to be said, amen. It says, "And the Lord said," and I just love it when the Lord starts speaking. So I see the Savior here as one of the characters. But secondly, I want you to see, I see Simon here, there in verse number 31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." And I thought it was interesting that Simon was Peter's name before he got saved. The Lord called that name out there, Simon, and that was Peter's name before he got saved. But I thought this was very interesting. Jesus didn't just call Peter's name one time, he called it twice. Amen? And boy, when Jesus goes to saying something two times, he means business, doesn't he? He's getting serious about something. He's got something serious that he wants to tell Simon that day. And he called his name twice. And I just began to think about how Jesus mentioned his name twice. Boy, it meant that he wanted him front and center. It meant that he wanted to tell him something important. And I couldn't help but think about growing up. Me and my sister, we grew up. Our grandmother raised us, and we grew up in a big apartment complex. And you know, back then it was, which I'm not that old, but back then it was a time when the kids would stay out all day and all into the night, and we would go out and we would play from sun up to sundown, and it come supper time, and my grandmother, she'd just come out the back door there, and she'd holler my name. She'd go, "Zach!" She had a very high-pitched voice. She's got a very high-pitched voice, but it was supper time, and she'd come out there, and she'd call my name. And I heard my name called one time, and I just went to go and just playing football or playing soccer, whatever it was, whatever I was doing. I just went about my business. It didn't really settle in good with me. But when she come out that door the second time and said, "Zach," I knew she was serious then. I knew she was serious then. And when she would call my name two times, I knew that she meant business. But boy, I just began to think about, I just want to thank God for those times when He's called my own name. I want to thank God for those times when I might have been in my old truck listening to some good old gospel music, or been in a church service or a revival somewhere, or even a youth rally as took place Friday night. I want to thank God for those times when He's called my name. He's called my name, not with a loud voice, but with that still small voice. That still small voice. When's the last time you heard that call? When's the last time that Jesus was calling your name? And when's the last time you answered that calling? He called Simon's name twice here. So I see two characters. I see the Savior, and I see Simon here, but I see a third character, and I see Satan here. Look there again in verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold who? Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And I see here that Satan, he's already been at work here in this passage of Scripture in the previous verses there, as he has influenced Judas to betray Jesus. Satan, let me just say this, Satan never gives up, does he? He don't ever give up. And you know, the Bible says there in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Well, we gotta be aware that there is a devil out there, and he wants us. He wants our head today, doesn't he? We gotta be aware of Satan. So I see these three characters here. I see the Savior, and I see Simon, and I see Satan. And I just began to think about those characters, and that's about how it normally is in life. We got Jesus on one side of the mountain, and we've got Satan on the other side, and there's man right there stuck in the middle, right? You got Satan in the world and the flesh and the devil pulling at you, tugging at you one way, and then you've got the Savior on the other way. But let me just go ahead and encourage you. Let me go ahead and say this morning that we need to follow the Savior, don't we? Amen. When you got the devil and the world calling your name and saying, "Hey, go this way and do this," follow Jesus, amen? Follow the Savior. So I see three characters here. And I notice that this story here is not a story of success. It's not a story of success. And the world and the day and age in which we live, it's all about success, isn't it? It's all about money, how much money you can make, and how far up the job ladder can you go? How much money can you make? It's all about success. But I notice here that Jesus doesn't even want to talk about success. He doesn't want to have anything to do with success, but He wants to talk to Simon about failure. He never wanted to talk about success, but He did have something to say about failure. I notice three things that Jesus does here. Number one, Jesus pointed out Simon's foe. He pointed out Simon's foe. And let me just say this, even though, you know, our enemy in this world is not each other, or it's not even the world, but our enemy is none other this morning than the devil himself. Our enemy is none other than the devil himself. And even though he is our enemy, we are actually not his enemy. God is his enemy. Isn't that right? And if you're a child of God this morning, He's going to do everything He can to mess up the name of the Lord. He's going to do everything He can to wreck your life. Jesus pointed out Simon's foe. Secondly, Jesus prayed for Simon's faith. Jesus prayed for Simon's faith. And I'm going to say a little bit more about this in a little bit, but the two most important things in the Christian life this morning are prayer and faith. Isn't that right? You can't do anything in the Christian life apart from prayer and faith. You can't even get saved apart from prayer and faith. And I noticed something there in verse number, between verses 32 and 33. If you've got a Bible that has the words of Jesus written in red, you might notice this with me. Look at verse 32. And these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is talking here. He says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And then all of a sudden, the words go back to black, don't they? There in verse 33, it says, "And he said unto him," this is Simon Peter talking, he says, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." You know what I thought about? I thought that Simon interrupted Jesus there, didn't he? He kind of interrupted Jesus. Jesus was going about talking and saying, you know, "Simon, hey, look, I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for your faith that it's going to fail you not in this time of trouble." And I don't believe Jesus was through talking. But he interrupted Jesus there in verse number 33. And you know, there's many times I began to think about my own life, and there's so many times when I could look back in my life and I know when Jesus is trying to tell me something. I know when Jesus is trying to get through to me and warn me about something or call me to do something. And boy, there's many times when I just should have kept my mouth shut, amen? And many times Jesus might be trying to tell you something. Jesus might be trying to convict you of an area in your life that you need to get right with Him. But let me just encourage you this morning, listen to what He's got to say, amen? Listen to what He's trying to tell you. Try not to interrupt the Lord, amen? When God was calling me to preach, I struggled for so long. I knew when I was a young man, before I even got into college, I knew that God had called me to preach. But you know what I did? I kept interrupting Jesus, didn't I? I kept interrupting the Lord. I wanted to go and do my own thing. I wanted to go and run my own way and run my own route. But I should have just kept my mouth shut and listened to the Lord. And as I look back on that, I see that my life probably would have been a little bit easier if I'd have just listened to Jesus the first time. Amen? Jesus prayed for Simon's faith. Thirdly, Jesus predicted Simon's failure. There in verse number 34, it says, "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And I notice here that as Simon is telling Jesus his plans and he's telling Jesus what he wants to do, Jesus is about to shock him, isn't he? Jesus is about to shock him by telling him in front of God and everybody how he's going to fail him that day. And he's not just going to fail him once. He's not just going to fail him the one time, but he's going to fail him in a big way. He's going to fail him three times that day. But let me just say this. I'm glad that we serve a God this morning. And it was hit on in Sunday school a little bit. I'm glad that we serve a God this morning who will not only give us a second chance, but He'll go ahead and give us a third chance. He'll give us a fourth chance. He'll give us a fifth chance. Isn't that right? If each and every one of us, I believe each and every one of us, if we was to have to get up here and testify on the grace of God, we could get up here and say that we've been given more than two chances at life. Amen? We've been given third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. I'm just glad and thankful that we serve a God of grace. But I want you to notice that Jesus, in this passage, he didn't dwell on Simon's failure. He didn't even dwell on his foe. Jesus spends one verse here in this passage of Scripture talking about Satan, and that's it. And I thought this was interesting. Many times, depending on our testimony, many times, if we're not careful, we can get up and testify about the Lord, and many times we can get up here and testify about, you know, what the devil's done in our life, how he's wrecked our life, and how we come from a terrible background, and Maybe some people, they've been in prison and things like that, and that's all part of your testimony. But boy, I just think sometimes we give the devil a little bit too much credit, don't we? Instead of bragging on the devil, won't we go ahead and brag on Jesus a little bit more? Amen? He didn't give the devil more credit than he deserves. But I noticed that Jesus didn't dwell on Simon's failure or his foe, but he was most concerned with Simon's faith. He was most concerned with Simon's faith. And I want to get into the outline real quick. I know you say that, well, brother, that was a long introduction. Well, it was, but I'm gonna try my best to go through these as quick as I can. Amen. I noticed that the faith of a failure must be prayed for. The faith of a failure must be prayed for. Let's look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee. Boy, I like it when God butts in, don't you? I like those conjunctions in God's Word. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, those conjunctions, that's why it's important to have you a King James Bible, amen? And them conjunctions in the Bible, boy, I love it when God butts in. He says, but I have prayed for thee. And you know, it's one thing when I or even Pastor Josh, he says, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you this morning. Hey, I know you got something going on. I'm praying for you. Oh, Brother John Meadows told me last night as we were about to leave the house there, he said, brother, I'm praying for you for tomorrow. I had some friends back home that knew I was preaching this morning, and they texted me and said, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. And boy, I'm telling you, hey, that's an encouragement. What an encouragement it is to know that somebody is praying for you. But it's one thing if we say I'm praying for you, it's a whole nother ballgame when Jesus is praying for you. Isn't that right? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Boy, he sure is righteous, isn't he? He says, but I have prayed for thee. And Jesus, he's warning Simon here. He's saying, Simon, the devil wants you. The devil is after your head. He wants every bit of you. He wants not just some of you. He wants all of you. But he said, but Simon, look here. I want you to know something else. There's somebody else who's hot on your trail. Amen. There's somebody else who's standing in your path, who's standing making intercession for you. And that's Jesus. Amen. He says, but I have prayed for thee. And I believe it's good when someone tells you they're praying for you. But you know what I can just picture as Jesus tells Simon here that he's praying for him? I can just picture Jesus in heaven. And you know, he's praying for each and every one of you this morning. And I can just picture Jesus sitting on the right hand of God the Father and whispering in God's ear saying, I'm praying for them. I want to pray for them, God. I want to pray for that mother. I want to pray for that daddy. I want to pray for that prodigal son, for that wayward daughter. I want to pray for them. I'm glad that Jesus is praying for us this morning. I'm thankful we've got somebody, no matter where you go in life. I'm glad that when men and women may fail you, I'm glad that Jesus never fails us. Amen. And he's praying for us. I want you to know that before your feet hit the ground this morning, before you got out of bed this morning, somebody was praying for you. And that's Jesus. The faith of a failure must be prayed for. I want you to notice, secondly, the faith of a failure must prevail. The faith of a failure must prevail. There in verse number 32 says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus prayed here, how he prayed. The only type of praying that Jesus knows is victorious praying. Amen? That's the only type of prayer that Jesus knows. And he prayed that when Peter was going around denying himself, denying Jesus, he was praying that in that time of trouble and in that time of tribulation, he was praying that his faith would fail not. Jesus was praying that Simon Peter would look back on those times when Jesus performed those miracles, maybe, when Jesus was preaching to all those many people and all those souls were being saved. Jesus was praying that Simon wouldn't forget. Jesus was praying that Simon wouldn't forget about his faith. He wouldn't forget about his faith, and that his faith would be able to prevail through this situation. That his faith would be able to get him through this trying time. He prayed that every time Peter would deny Jesus, that he would remember who Jesus is. Boy, Jesus, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's altogether lovely. He's our shield and our buckler. He is God. He's wonderful. He's our shelter in a time of storm. Amen. He's everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a rock in a weary land. That's who Jesus is. And the faith of a failure must prevail. I want you to notice lastly, the faith of a failure must be profitable. The faith of a failure must be profitable. Look there again one more time at verse number 32. It says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus tells Peter here, he says, "Listen here, Peter, when this thing's all over, when you're done denying me, when you got that out of the way, I want to tell you something. You're going to be that one that I choose to lead my church. You're going to be that one who's going to be preaching Pentecost, where 3,000 souls are going to get saved. You're going to be that one I choose to lead." Jesus tells Peter all this, and I wonder, you know, Peter's probably wondering why, but you know, I was thinking about this, when y'all have a big revival or a big camp meeting or a big youth rally or something like that, Brother Josh, when he was praying about who he might have to come speak at the youth rally or at y'all's revival or something, he probably is not looking at somebody who's got egg on their face. Amen. He's probably not looking at some preachers and some pastors who have denied Jesus. But he's probably looking at somebody, maybe like, I think about this, I wonder why Jesus chose Peter. The one that I probably would have chose would have been John. The Apostle John who laid his head on, or had the mother of Jesus lay his head there at the cross. And Peter, he's probably wondering, why in the world would you choose me, Jesus, after I have denied you and after I'm going to do this terrible thing? But you know why I believe that he did this? I believe that Jesus did it this way so when Peter was used to do those great and mighty things, the only person that could receive glory from it is Jesus himself. Amen. Peter couldn't say, "That's all me." Peter wouldn't be able to say, "All glory and honor be given to me." But he'd be able to realize and recognize and fall to his feet and humbled and say, "Lord, it's only you. It's only you the reason why this is able to take place and the reason why 3,000 souls are going to get saved." I believe Jesus took the worst and made him first. Amen. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Amen, Brother Josh. Jesus took the worst. At Jesus, he specializes in that, doesn't he? If you're wondering if you can be used of God this morning, if you're wondering if you got any sort of talent or any sort of ability, then you kind of using those as crutches, using those as excuses as to why God can't use you. Let me just go ahead and encourage you. From personal experience, Jesus can use you. Jesus can use what you have to offer. Each and every one of us in here this morning, I believe, could say that we failed Him, couldn't we? We failed Jesus a time or two. Amen? Each and every one of us in here in this church this morning deserves nothing more than a devil's hell, don't we? We deserve nothing more than to be on our way to hell this morning. But thank God, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Well, I'm thankful for the unmerited favor of God this morning. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Amen. During those times of failure, let me just go ahead and close and ask you this. During those times that you have failed Him, how's your faith been? When you're in that valley, when you're in that storm, has your faith been prevailing? Has it been profitable? How's your faith been? How have you looked to Jesus during those times? Because I want to leave you with this. Your faith sure has been prayed for. Amen. The faith of a failure. Let's bow and pray.